The Nile flowed a little more strongly as they moved south along its bank, but they could tell from the high water line that the level was much lower than it had been in former times. It has shrunk 20-fold, Merrin calculated, and Taita agreed, even though he did not say so. Sometimes Merrin had to be reminded that he was not an adept, and that some matters were better left to those qualified to deal with them. As they journeyed along the west bank, horses and men grew stronger with each day that passed. They were all fully recovered from the effects of the fly by the time they reached the lake, which was as Porto had described it to them. It was vast. "It must be a sea, not merely a lake," Merrin declared, and Taita sent him to fetch a pitcher of water from it. "Now taste it, my good Merrin," he ordered. Gingerly, Merrin took a sip and let it run through his mouth. Then he drank the rest of the pitcher. "Saltsy?" Taita smiled kindly. "Nay, Magus, sweet as honey. I was mistaken and you were right." The lake was so large that it seemed to create its own wind system. In the dawn the air was still and cool. What looked like smoke rose high into the air from the surface. The men discussed this animatedly. "The water is heated by a volcano," said one. "No," said another. "The water rises like mist. It will fall again elsewhere as rain." "Nay, it is the fiery breath of a sea monster that lives in the waters," Merrin said with authority. In the end, they looked to Taita for the truth. "Spiders," said Taita, which threw them into further passionate argument. "Spiders do not fly. He means flies. Dragonflies." "He toys with our credibility," said Merrin. "I know him well. He loves his little jokes." 2 days later, the wind veered, and one of the cloudy upwellings drifted over the camp. Then, as it reached land, it began to descend. Fen leapt high in the air and snatched something out of it. "Spiders!" she squealed. "Taita is never wrong." The cloud was formed by countless newly hatched spiders, so immature as to be almost transparent. Each had woven a gossamer sail, which it used to catch the dawn breeze and sail aloft to be transported to some new quarter of the lake. As soon as the sun struck the surface, the wind picked up, until by noon it was whipping the water to foaming frenzy. During the afternoon it subsided, until at sunset all was calm and serene. Flights of flamingos strung out along the horizon in wavy pink lines. Hippopotamuses wallowed like granite boulders, grunting and bellowing in the shallows, cavernous pink jaws gaping to threaten rivals with their long incisors. Mighty crocodiles stretched out on the sandbars, sunning themselves, holding their mouths wide open so that water birds could pick the scraps of flesh from between their stubby yellow fangs. The nights were still, with the stars reflected on the velvety black waters. To the west the lake was so extensive that there was no sight of land other than a few small islands that seemed to sail like dhows on the wind-torn surface. To the south they could just make out the far shore of the lake. There were no high mountain peaks or volcanoes, just a blue tracing of low hills. Porto had warned them about the ferocity of the local tribes, so they built a secure camp with branches from the thorny acacia trees that burgeoned on the shores of the lake. During the days, the horses and mules grazed on the fine grasses that grew on the littoral, or waded out to feast on the water lilies and other aquatic plants in the shallows. "When will we set out to find Kalulu, the shaman?" Fen demanded.
"This very evening, after you have had your dinner."
As he had promised, he took her to the beach, where they gathered driftwood and built a small fire. They squatted over it, and Taita took her hands in his, forming the circle of protection.
"If Kalulu is an adept, as Porto suggested, we can cast for him across the ether," Taita told her.
"Can you do that, Taita?" Fen asked in awe.
"According to Porto, he lives in the marshes very close to this place, perhaps only a few leagues distant from where we are now. He is within easy call."
"Is distance important?" Fen asked. Taita nodded.
"We know his name. We know his physical appearance, his amputated legs, Of course, it would be easier if we knew his spirit name, or if we possessed something of his person. A hair, nail clippings, sweat, urine, or dung. However, I will teach you to cast for a subject with what we have. Taita took a pinch of herbs from his pouch and threw them onto the fire. They flared in a cloud of pungent smoke. "This will drive off any evil influence that may be hovering nearby," he explained. "Look into the flames. If Kalulu comes, you will see him there." Still holding hands, they began to sway in time to a soft humming that Taita made deep in his chest. When Fen had cleared her mind, as he had taught her, they conjured up the three symbols of power and silently conjugated them. Mensah, Kidash, Nkube. The ether sang around them. Taita cast into it. "Kalulu, hearken, O legless one, open thine ears." He repeated the invitation at intervals as the moon rose and travelled halfway towards its zenith. Suddenly they felt the strike. Fen gasped at the thrill, like a discharge of static through her fingertips. She stared into the fire and saw the outline of a face. It looked to her like that of an ancient but eternally wise ape. "Who calls?" The fiery lips formed the question in the ten mass. "Who calls on Kalulu?" "I am Taita of Galala." "If you are of the truth, show me your spirit name." Taita allowed it to materialize as a symbol over his head, the sign of a falcon with a broken wing. It would be mortally dangerous for him to enunciate it into the ether, where it might be pounced on by a malevolent entity. "I acknowledge you, brother in truth," Kalulu said. "Reveal your own spirit name," Taita challenged him. Slowly the outline of a crouching African hare took shape above the face in the fire. It was the mythological wise one, Kalulu the hare, whose head and long ears were portrayed in the disk of the full moon. "I acknowledge you, brother of the right hand. I call upon you for your help," said Taita. "I know where you are, and I am close by. Within 3 days I will come to you," Kalulu replied.